let me just get back to the talk. So we're talking about the birth of Moshe Rabbeinu, and he was born at the time that the decree went out, that Paro gave out the decree, Tzilachol Amo, to all of his nation. And the Ramban says that at first he gave it to the midwives, and even the argument of the midwives, basically their argument was that they couldn't carry out his instruction, because it had to, according to his instruction, it should have been done quickly, secretly, so that even the mothers themselves wouldn't notice, because he didn't want people to find out. Because even then, the state of the political situation wasn't like today, where people had rights and whatever. But even then, even though he was a mighty king, the idea that people would rise up and just a policy of extermination is not something that the people are going to accept. And what's the basis for it? These people came, we welcomed them, and so forth. I mean, he had to operate with some type of a consistency. So, thus, he wanted to do it in secret. When that failed, it says that he commanded L'chol Amo to all of his people. I don't know if that means all the people. Now, all the people became aware that every Jewish baby should be killed. Or does it mean that to his commanders or selected people? I don't know. The plain language indicates to everybody. But whatever the case may be, it doesn't really make that much difference at this point. It means to say that every Jewish child... Well, I guess it was out in the open. I think you have to say it was out in the open, because every parent, every Jewish parent, was aware of it. The next story is Vayelech Ish Mibeis Levi, Vayikach Bas Levi. So now the Torah is getting very cryptic. It's not naming names. And a man from the house of Levi. Now we know who this is. This is Amram. He went. It's a strange way of expressing it. Vayikach Bas Levi. And he took a daughter of Levi. Basically, that's Yocheved, of course. So why is it describing it this way? So Rashi, Vayikach es bas Levi, Porush hayimimena. So Rashi is quoting a midrash. It means that he remarried. He had separated from her because of the gzera of Paro, the decree of Paro. This, of course, indicates that... he was aware of the decree, that was a public thing. And he brought her back, and also, he married her a second time. Now, in parentheses, however, it gives the credit to Miriam for this remarriage. That the term vayelech, that he went, means that he went at the advice of his daughter. She'amralo, she complained to him and said, "Zeirascha kasha mishal Paro, that your decree is more harsh than Paro." Interesting, she spoke to her father that way. "Im Paro gazer al azcharim, Paro decreed against the males. V'yata gamken al hanakevos, and your decree is against the nakevos." That is to say, if people are going to separate, so they won't have male or female. Cool. Well, it seems that he exceeded, agreed. Okay. Whatever the case is, it's still a question as to why it doesn't mention the principals and their names. Then, Vatar Isha Vatelet Bain. So that, then she conceived and she had a boy. Vatera Osoki Tovu. And she saw that he was good. Vatitzpinei Rishloshi Yerachim. And she hid him for 3 months. Now, of course, this is something very strange in this pasuk. Well, not just that. The implication is that she hid him for 3 months because she saw that he was good. As opposed to what? What do you mean? Of course, what does it mean that he was good? In what sense was it good or not good? What's going on here? But the reason why she hid him, obviously, that's a parent protects the child.
Right.
But the parent protects the child doesn't mean if the child is special or unique or good. It's your parent, right? No, it doesn't have to say that. It would imply that she hid him for 3 months because she saw that he was good. What's the connection? Farish, see the Rashbam says? The Rashbam says, I'm a Farish, lefisha ra'atu, hetmintu. That is, those who explain that there's a connection, that because she saw him, that he was good, that's the reason why she hit him, Mishakeru. That's false. Shakalav Lodos, imosan merachmos aleihem. Well, it's the natural reaction of parent protect.
And
he did,
right, they're all hiding
in their place. So Imkain, Sarach Miod. You have to explain the word that she saw in a different manner, akin to what it means when it says that God saw that all that he had done, and behold, it was very good. Nistakel vihibit kalmasav. That God, obviously you can't take this literally, that God looked and saw all of his actions. V'chol pulosav, she'asa, im yesh l'sakein shum davar behem. Again, this is not to be taken literally. God did not review, did I make a mistake? But that's the meaning of the term. In our framework, it would be that way. It's indicating that everything was perfect. It's as though a craftsman looking over the product that he's created to see. But in point of fact, God didn't have to see that it was, obviously. The whole thing is anthropomorphic. V'hine kulam yafim umutukanim. And behold, all of them were good and established, set, in terms of creation. Afkan. Here too, Lefisha Moshe Nola Lesov Shisha Chadashim, Kemoshe Matsino Bishmuel Shanola Lutkufas Hayomim, Shnei Tukufos Ushnei Hayom. So the Rashbam is learning, as does Rashi, that Moshe was born prematurely. Okay, so let's continue now. Continue with the Rashbam, who says that Moshe was born at 6 months. Lefichach Yachlo Latzpino Shlosh Chadashim. Therefore, they were able to hide him for 3 months. Shamitzrim Hayum. So who was come pregnant, same thing. The Egyptians would keep track of the pregnant women and they would wait for the 9th month. Still, it raises the question. I'm not going to take it up now. So then if that's the case, so then you wonder, what were they thinking? Why then his idea of separating, not having children, would make sense. Why are people conceiving children? That's probably the idea behind that debate between Miriam and Amram. Because you could say it's kind of like Russian roulette. If it's a girl, she's okay. So it's not entirely irrational. That is, if there's a decree that we're not going to harm you people. Let's assume an anti-Semite had that idea. It's too messy. So we'll just do abortions or infanticide. That's how we'll get rid of the problem. Because in today's world, that's far very humane. But that's what the only thing is. You'd say that put yourself in that situation. Every time a woman became pregnant, there was a terrible situation of tension and not knowing. 50%. I don't know what the odds are, but whatever it is. Yeah, if it was a girl, they didn't have sonograms in those days, obviously, they didn't know. If it was a girl, okay, could have a party, simcha, no problem. It would seem, you could ask yourself the question, so why did the Egyptians allow that? Why did they decree only against the Jewish males, and why didn't they make a blanket decree? So apparently Paro was not as bad as Hitler, right? Wasn't as bad as the Hamas. They want to eradicate all Jews. But that's, you see, yeah, it wasn't the same kind of an attitude that Hitler had against it. It was a certain, like, a racial kind of a thing. Like the Jew was some kind of a subhuman creature, a disease, so to speak. So therefore it wouldn't make any difference if they were male or female. They were polluting the nation. They had all kinds of laws, like Rassenschande, that was called, race shame, that if any German cohabited with a Jew, it was a very serious crime. It was a racial thing. But Paro was different. The Torah tells you that Paro was paranoid about the Jews, and that for whatever reasons, he feared the Jewish takeover. That's been a theme throughout history as well. But in dealing with it, he did not, as it would seem, did not go to those kinds of extremes, that he had to remove every possible... It wasn't that kind of a hatred that he had to remove every Jew. He just had to reduce their strength. So the fear was that the Jews were getting too powerful and they would take over the country. And that would be the males. But the daughters, to the contrary, we'll take them over. They don't constitute a threat in that way. To the contrary, we'll take them. He wasn't saying that they weren't desirable. If anything, they're good, because you see, they produce these powerful children. So he wasn't, his policy was not to exterminate every Jew. Now, as far as the present ones, the ones that are alive now, he didn't, that he was hoping that the labor, he would weaken them with the labor. So he would really, he was really decimating the nation, basically. But he was approaching it from different angles. The adults he would decimate with hard labor burdens. In fact, according to the Sforno, his objective at first was that they would leave, to make life so miserable for them that they would leave. But he miscalculated. This is Chashe Yanuo, so Ken Yerbe V'chen Yifrotz. The more he afflicted them, the stronger they got, and they continued. They weren't stopped. That's an interesting pasuk. That's something unusual. It didn't work. That's why he had more bad. First, it was just the tax, work tax. Then they built those cities, those storage cities, Pitom and Ramses. But that didn't work, because Chashe Yanuo, so Ken Yerbe V'chen Yifrotz. The more he afflicted him, the more they grew and became powerful. So then there was a change in policy, and he became very harsh. The labor, harsh labor of Parach, backbreaking labor, and at the same time, to destroy the males. So as a result of all of this, he was hoping to solve his problem. Getting back to the Rashbam with regard to Moshe, so he was born at 6 months, and she then had 3 months to go. Rashi learns this way as well, because for 3 months they weren't expecting the birth. L'chein istaklabo b'shas leida. Therefore, it says that she gazed at him at the time of the birth, imhu nefel. If he was a nefel. Nefel means a miscarriage. Yeah, that's a child who's born prematurely is in great danger, especially in those days. And therefore he really was not didn't have a chance. So velo titrach b'hat manaso. So then she wouldn't engage in this plan to conceal him. V'ratahu, so therefore it says she saw kitov v'yofehu, that he was good, goodly. Kigamru Simonov. That is, all of the vital signs, everything was mature and developed, his hair, his nails, as the Gemara says in Yevamos. And she knew that he was a Bar Kayama. She knew that he would survive, that there was nothing wrong with him. That's what it means, Kitov. So it's very, very good pshat. Because it's not that she saw that he was good, as opposed to being, you know, well, all babies are. What's this? It meant that since he was healthy. Because he had been born prematurely.
Yeah, and that was a big question.
And thus, he could survive. Because she determined that he could survive, she then had to devise a plan, had to see to it that he would survive. So she hid him for 3 months, until the end of the ninth month, which was the time of when they were expecting her to birth. Yeah, but what happened at the ninth month? What happened at the ninth month? So he says, "Ukishabo lebotka." Now, when they checked the monitors, the birth monitors, Amra lehem, she said to them, "Nefel hoya," that he was a stillborn. Oh, hishlichu amitzum bayor. So she then lied. Isn't that terrible? It's a lie. She lied to the Egyptians and told them some kind of story, because they would see that she had given birth, she wasn't pregnant, then where's the baby? So that was part of the ruse. I hadn't seen that point before. She had to have a ruse, because if they thought that she had hidden him somewhere, that wouldn't be able to save him. Of course, this fits in with the notion that everything surrounding the birth of Moshe was based upon Hashkacha. Rashbam. Then it says Lo Yachla Od Hatzpino, that she could not hide him any longer. Because according to the Rashi and the Rashbam, the Midrash, it's because that's it. They had 3 months. At the ninth month, they knew that they came to look for the baby. So they wanted to save the baby. Vatikach Lo Tevas Goma.
Vatachmer bachemer vazafes. So they took this little cradle and they lined it with pitch, whatever, so that to put the baby in it. Vatosim basa yelad, and they placed the child in it. Vatosim basuf al sfasayor. So you put him in the reeds at the bank of the river.
Okay. Could have been in the water or out.
Of course, the question is, what was the plan? What kind of plan is this? How long can a baby survive? What, are you hiding a baby? You can't hide a baby. My baby needs, assuming that nobody, an alligator doesn't come along, assuming that no harm comes to him, assuming he's not found by an Egyptian. So what kind of a survival plan is that? How is he going to survive? He needs milk, bottle. It doesn't seem to that the plan was that they would run out every night and give him a bottle and then run back and run out. I mean, it just doesn't make sense. What kind of a plan is this? There is a Gemara that says that there was, she had a Nevuah, that he would be the Moshiach. All of that, I think one, it's not like a full-fledged Nevuah with every little detail in it. I think it means that she was under the influence of divine inspiration of Ruach HaKodesh in what she did, but she still had, it wasn't just Miriam, by the way. It was the mother. Let's continue, and then I'll tell you what I think, what the plan was. Then it says, Vateisatza v'achosa me'rachok, that his sister stood at a distance. That is, that she not that she was close to him, that they would know her, but she remained at a point from which she could observe. Me'rachok. L'deya ma'ya yosalo, to know what happened to him. Then it says, fortuitously, Vaterid bas paro lirchos al hayor. The daughter of Paro came to wash by the or, by the river. V'narasel holchos al yad hayor. And her maidens were walking by the, what's yad? The shore, by the shore. And they, Vaterin, she saw the teva, the basket, pesocha suf. Vatishlach hasamosa vatikacha. And she sent the young maiden, one of her girls, to take it. Vatiftach vaterei vasayeled. And she opened. Interesting, it has to describe every move. She opened and she saw the yeled. Vine nar bocha. And he was crying, he was crying. Vatachmol olav, and she took pity upon him. Vatomer, and she said, Miyalde ho ivrimzeh. That this is from the, she figured it out. She figured it out. Well, it has to be one of the Jewish children. Because who would leave their baby in the water? So she figured it out. Some Jewish parent gave birth to a boy. They couldn't tolerate the idea of him being killed. Now, this would not be in fulfillment. He wouldn't be in there, because the decree of Paro was to toss him in, not to put him in a wicker, in a manner which would save him. So it's some desperate Jew. What's interesting about this pasuk? It's interesting. Why do I need to know that he was crying? All babies cry. Wow. Yeah, it's interesting. You get the sense from the pasuk, it's telling you every little detail that she was in a state of conflict. Because something drew her to it. She was drawn. Obviously, she was a decent individual. She was drawn to it. At the same time, she had the problem that her father was the king and there was a decree. So, you see, she opened, and she saw, and he was crying, and vatachmol alav, that there was a battle within her, and the emotion, it's interesting, the crying over here was not an accident. The Ramban quotes the Agada that says that Gavriel came, the Malach Gavriel came, and hit Moshe in order to cause him to cry. That is to say that it wasn't purely a natural thing. But something happened. Something bothered him. But that was arranged by God. That was a Malach. It was a predetermined thing from Hashem that he should cry. Just at the right time. Why? And just because that little bit of emotion pushed her. Because it's interesting. Then she said, Miyalde Rimza. Had she said Miyalde, had she identified, had she said that, before she had that emotion, then she could have cast it away and she could have come to a different conclusion. She could have said that, that's unfortunate, but we have to comply with the decree. But once she was won over emotionally, then she said Miyalde Ivrim, but the emotion dominated. The emotion of compassion. Okay? I would therefore say that that's pretty much what the plan was. That is, I'm going to assume, I'm going to posit, that they didn't just come up with an idea. No one's going to come up with an idea like that. Doesn't seem like any kind of an idea. All right, we'll just build a wicker basket and put them in the water and we'll see what happens. But they were hoping that somebody would take mercy on him. But even that, I would go further and say that perhaps it wasn't by accident that they put the baby in a place where Paro's daughter would come to bathe. Is it just a coincidence, an accident? Or they had observed, they'd studied the situation. And they might have known a little bit about the daughter. The daughter might have had a reputation for being someone who's caring. I don't know what, we can go on and posit. I don't want to make up a whole story. If you were going to do a movie about it, you would present her as someone who couldn't have children of her own. But she had this powerful desire and love of children. And she worked in the orphanages and so on and so forth. I'm just making it up. But I'm just saying, similar to that, it's possible that she had a certain reputation for being someone who is compassionate, especially to children. Well, you have a lot of people in today's society that are known, that's their cause. You know, they have, each person, you know, has their own charity. So some people, well, children is always popular. You want to start a charity, anything to do with children, children that are deprived, and so on and so forth. Anyways, no, so I'm sort of suggesting that that we have a right to assume that they were familiar to a certain extent. And that's why they thought that there's a chance that maybe the daughter of Paro will come and perhaps she'll take mercy. That's what they sort of, because other than that, you know, it's not a plan to just take a baby and put the baby in a basket in the reeds. In and of itself, it's not going to last too long. The baby won't survive. So that was desperation. But they were also inspired by the fact that they had the Nevuah or the Ruach HaKodesh that this could be something, that if this was the will of Hashem, they still had to do whatever they could do. And that's what I believe happened. So, interestingly enough, so then she swings into action, Miriam. Vatomra Chosol Bas Paro. So she said to the daughter of Paro, Ha'eleich, Vikarosi loch isha meinekes mino ivrios. Vesenik loch asayolad. Shall I go and call for you a nursing mother from the Jewish women, because she had identified the baby as a Jew, and she'll nurse the baby for you. So this was a tremendous development. Now, not only would Moshe live, but he would be nursed by his own mother, which retains the connection. Batomo lo bas Paro lechi, and the daughter of Paro said, "Go." That is, she agreed. Vatelecha alma, and the young girl went. Vatikra seim hayelad, and she called the mother. Vatomo lo bas Paro, and the daughter of Paro said, "Hey lichi es hayelad hazev heini kiu li, take this lad and nurse him for me. Vani etein escharech, and I'll give you your wage. Vatikachu isha hayelad vatinikehu." Now, it's interesting. Did the daughter of Paro know that this was the mother of the child? Not, right? It seems not, because she pays. If it's the mother of the child, the mother doesn't have to get paid. Would a mother say, I want to, if it's her child? Also, if it's the mother of the child, so then there's going to be, she may not want the mother to nurse the child, because the mother may not want to give the child up. Even though it's in Egypt, but who knows what could happen? They could try to escape, go somewhere else. She wanted the child. That's why she says li, heini kiu li, and it's a monetary arrangement. course, the question is, what is the significance of this?
Is this part of the hashgacha?
In my opinion, all this is part of the hashgacha.
Yeah. No.
The next question is, the next question is, how did Moshe know that he was Jewish? As we read the story, it's pretty obvious that Moshe not only knew that he was Jewish, it's not enough to just say that he knew he was Jewish. It seems also that he knows his family. He knows who his brother was, he knows who his sister is, because at the Sneh, and that's many, many years later, so he resists, he doesn't want the mission, Sita is his brother, and he'll meet you, and so on and so forth. So Moshe knew who Aaron was. But what's interesting is that not only that he knew, because it says he went out to see what he was doing with his brothers, and he was concerned. But more than that, in order to explain the actions that he took, that he stood up and he slew the Egyptian, for which he was, and then the next day he intervenes when the Jews are fine. He must have had a very strong feeling about the Jews. Now, if he was raised in the house of Paro, by the daughter of Paro, where did it come from? How did he even know that he was Jewish? Okay, well, that's fine. They might have told him. But how did he know the specifics of his own family? And why did he care about the fact that he was Jewish? Assimilated Jews made it meaningless to them, the Jewishness. Then it says, Vayigdal hayeled, that he grew up. Now, grew up over here does not mean like bar mitzvah. Like he was, so that's the second. This means he was finished with nursing.
Right, he was older.
And it just means that he developed to the point where he didn't have to be nursed anymore. That was the deal. So, what was that, 2 years? Generally speaking, about 2 years?
2 or 3 years.
Yeah. All right? Okay. So, if it's between 2 and 3, then I don't know how much they could have instructed him.
Right.
About the truth. I don't know if that's the way it happened.
Right, about his family and all that.
It says, Vativier Labas Paro, and they brought him to the daughter of Vahi Lolavain. And he became a, what do you mean? Vahi Lolavain means that he was like a son. It was a real relationship. It wasn't just that technically he was adopted by her. Vatikra Shemo Moshe, and she called his name Moshe. Vatomer, and she said, Kimin Amaya Mishisiu. Because I pulled him out of the water. What's the significance of this? Is that just telling us a fact? Is that just a fact? Why do I need to know that? No, I need to know his name, obviously. Is there any significance then in the name? The names that are given in Tanakh, generally speaking, always have to do with some event, and it's always associated with God. The association is always with God. Kishem Elokim, it's always God. Here, it's not associated with God, it's associated with her. I pulled him. See, I wanted to say that, I mean, it's possible. The Torah records the fact that Miriam arranged that her mother should be the nursing mother, but this was kept hidden from the daughter of Paro. It was a financial arrangement. And there's a lot of significance in what takes place over here. Because the name is very important. And it had an effect. In my opinion, it's possible to say that obviously he was curious about his name. Let's assume that when he left from being nursed, how much could he have absorbed? Generally speaking, even your memory, you don't really have much memory. It's till about 4 or 5. You may remember certain things when you were 2 or 3. I mean, you may. That's rare. It's unusual. But it's only something major that may have happened. And you don't remember it too well. So it's odd to create at that age, that enough information about being Jewish and all that. I'm not ruling it out. I'm just saying, where did Moshe get his sense, his identity? He clearly had a Jewish identity. That's the question. I think all these things were being told. I'm putting it together and I'm offering a possibility. The name is very important. So obviously, what's the name? You know, like, what do you mean? Why am I named this way? So she said, because I pulled you out of the water. See, that's like a tremendous curiosity. Mm-hmm. She did not claim, she told you, you're adopted. Mm-hmm. She didn't claim that you were my natural child, biological.
So that's going to engender a tremendous curiosity, and especially in someone like Moshe with a mind like that, to find out, well, what's the story? How did I... Well, you're Jewish. Then she had to tell him, you're Jewish, and there was a decree. And obviously your parents, that's all they could do. They wouldn't give up. They wanted to save you desperately. And perhaps they believed in God, so they were hoping for a miracle. I mean, all these... So this would engender a tremendous curiosity for Moshe to discover his parents. As is known today, adopted children, and generally speaking, have a tremendous curiosity. Today it's a lot easier because you can generally, it's much easier to track it down. In those days, how was he going to track it down? So he would ask his mother, the Egyptian mother, so who are my parents? And what would she say? I don't know. She didn't know. She clearly did not know. Even though she had met the mother, she didn't know it was the mother, according to my explanation. She was just a nursing a woman who had given... There were many such women. I want to finish my point. There were many such Jewish women who had to get rid of their sons, so she didn't know who she was. And she paid her the wage. So... Because of that, I would say there's a good possibility that he was able to make a connection with that person, because she would know who the nursing. That goes in the records. There was a receipt. There was a payment. That's why it's telling you that she made the payment. You see? That is to say that it makes sense to me that the mother, the Egyptian, the daughter of Paro, would then say, well, he would ask, well, who nursed me? Couldn't have been you, since you didn't, maybe I can pick it up. Who nursed me? Maybe they would know. So the daughter of Paro was able to direct him to the one who nursed him. See, once he discovered that, the one who nursed him, that's easier. That's a story for a couple of years. Yeah, and who the whole that's a story. She's nursing someone for the daughter of Paro. That's something which would become known. And the daughter of Paro, it's very likely that she wrote down the name of this person because they had a deal. And she was supposed to re-deliver the baby. So I'm saying that as a result of that, that's why that becomes very, very important. That Miriam, by jumping in and arranging who the nursing mother was, that's why it's very important, she was able to retain that connection. Had it been somebody else, then there wouldn't have been a connection. Once he rediscovered his nursing, the one who nursed him, which was his actual mother, so then they told him, then he was reunited, and then he would go visit them, and then he learned about his whole past, and about Judaism, and then his family, and Aaron, and the whole situation. You see? There's one more aspect of the influence of the name, which is very, very important. And that is that you see the type of person that Moshe was in the two incidents. That Moshe Rabbeinu was the type of person who didn't sit on the sidelines. He wasn't a sideline sitter. If he saw an injustice, he couldn't tolerate it. And a lot of people can't tolerate it, but they don't do anything about it. And he was a very powerful individual, and he took action. He was a Moshiach. He was someone who would help. You see that by the Mitzri, who was the Jew, hitting the Jew. The next day, the two Jews are fighting. He intervened. And then when he ran away, and even for the strangers, the daughters of Yisro, and that's even more... difficult to comprehend, because he takes on a whole group, a whole gang of shepherds, and he doesn't care. He fights them by Yakam Moshe by Yoshion. Now, it's interesting. I saw this shot in the Sforno. It's very, very interesting, the effect of a name. That the idea that he was the victim of an oppression, that he was tossed into the Yamsuf, and he was pulled out of the water, that he was saved, that gave him a certain tremendous identification with the victim, with the idea. Someone that's been through an experience like that and was only saved because somebody else came along and didn't allow him to die. So, and that's his name. His very name reflects that idea. The idea that I was pulled out of the water. So that contributes to him having a sense, him having an emotional sense. I'm not saying what he did was emotional, purely emotional. He used his mind, of course. But the character, the personality of someone, the idea that someone who was in a situation like that and he was pulled out of the water that to rescue, he was rescued, he has to rescue. So the Sforno makes that point that the name itself has a profound impact on a person.